Hallelujah, hallelujah. A call to worship, a call to gather, a call to come in. Oh, there's so much energy in this place. Apostle Bob, as soon as we came in, we said, wow, the atmosphere is like charged here. And we're just declaring for those of you who have to be at home and but are streaming it at home, you just experience that. Let there be just as like electricity when it goes through the line and zaps through in a house. Let it just fill your house with energy, the Amen. Energy of God, the presence of God. He is here today, and we are here together. We've gathered, and we're here to worship Him.
Amen.
We're here to exalt the Lord. I mean, how amazing is that? It was fun to connect with so many people, like Bernice, who's been away, to be able to, we're so glad to see you. You know, it's just good to be able to declare each one and declare how happy we are to see each person. But what an amazing opportunity we have to know. We are gathered here to welcome and acknowledge and praise Him, the Lord God Almighty. To praise the Father God, to exalt Jesus, and to welcome in communion with us and presence with us, Amen. Holy Spirit. What an amazing opportunity. Father, we are here because it's your will that we would gather in your name, and it's your will that we would exalt your Son, Jesus, that we would declare His goodness, His glory, that we would declare His name. You want His name exalted in all the earth, and we agree with that. Jesus, we are here to exalt your name. But Holy Spirit, we welcome you because you're the helper. You're the one who strengthens us. You're the one who's revealing Jesus to us, that He might be formed in us, that we might then manifest Him. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. So, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. We welcome you here. We exalt you this day. This is a day for praise. This is a day for worship. Just stand up, lift your hands, and say, lift a shout to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Worship you. You are so good.
Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. Sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. We worship you.
Kingdoms bow down, Son of God, you are the one, you are the one. You are the love that frees us, you are the light that leads us, like a fire burning, Son of God, you are the one.
Amen.
sing and make music with the heavens. Sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. With eyes and in your hands you Jesus, you're powerful. Jesus, you're powerful. And in your hands you hold the stars. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful. King of glory, have your glory. 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 King of glory.
Because I just really felt the Spirit of God this morning telling us to be exhorted in what we're doing. It says, King of Glory, have your glory. I was talking to a granddaughter, and she was saying, Grandma, I don't know, just something at church is different where I go right now. She said, they've changed the worship, and somehow when I go away, I feel in my spirit like I'm not satisfied. I feel like I really didn't worship the Lord. And so we started talking some more, and I thought, God, I'm so thankful to be in a part where those who help lead us in worship, a team like this, and we welcome our guests this morning, Anna. But all the team, I'm so grateful for the sense that these are ones who want to lead us in that place that we say, King of Glory, have your glory. Do you know that there are lots of songs that we can sing, and we do sometimes sing, that we call them third-person songs. We are declaring into the atmosphere, declaring even into ourselves, declaring to anyone who could possibly hear, but just declaring the goodness of God. God is powerful. He's mighty. God, you're glorious. God, you are amazing. God, you do so many good things. God, you have done great things, and we declare his works. We declare his power. We declare the wonders of who he is, but we declare him like that. We declare, this is the God we know. This is the God we serve, and this is how amazing he is. But then there's a place when we come actually into his presence, because he says he inhabits the praises of his people. He comes and he's actually with us. He's here and we're with him. And we change our some aspects of our singing then. You know, it would be a little strange. There are some times I might be telling someone about my husband and say, he's a really good man. He's a good provider. He's faithful. He loves to do amazing things with our family. He brings laughter into our family. He brings serious times and discussions. And I just like to praise him and talk about what an amazing guy this is. But you know, how strange would it be if I'm with him, spending time with him, spending time face to face and start talking about this man I'm married to, he's a good man. He's that, instead of saying, you're a good man. You're faithful and I appreciate your faithfulness. You are the one who brings such joy to who our family and our gathering. Isn't there, can you tell the difference? Can you tell? So the Lord says, don't come into my presence just declaring about me. Talk to me. Share your heart with me. Share. It says, King, we're singing songs. We started out with the first one, not doing third person, not saying. What's not to love about God? Heaven and earth adore God. Kings and kingdoms bow down. God, he's the one. He's the one that is the light that leads us. No, instead we said, you are the light that leads us. You're the one who loves us. Son of God, you are the one. What's not to love about you? There's a difference in our positioning. There's a difference in our attitude. The first one's good. I trust that in your house you just talk about how amazing God is to your family. You do in the workplace, you do in your neighborhood, you do anywhere you get the opportunity to declare. God is amazing. Jesus is our Savior. He's good. But when you're before him in intimacy, let's speak right to him. Let's sing songs that say to him like this, your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. Jesus, you're glorious. With eyes that blaze like burning fire, Jesus, you're glorious. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory. Lord, hear us today because we position ourselves in the place that you gave us. You welcomed us to come. You welcomed us to come, not from a distant place, but to come even into that place behind the veil. You took that veil back and you said, come, come, come. Don't worship me from afar. Don't declare my praise from only afar, but come before me and let's share intimacy together. Because as you declare who I am responding in love to you also. I love you and then you love me and then I love you right back. And there's so much love, there's so much power generated as we share that place of intimacy. So come this morning, be intimate with me. Know that I have chosen to be with you because you made a place for me. The Lord says you made a place for me that's beautiful, that's awesome. And I've come to be with you because you came to be with me. I am pleased by your hearts. And I say this day I'm expanding your hearts. This day I'm expanding you in this place of worship. For as you worship me, as you acknowledge who I am responding and being that truly in your lives. I am doing a great and mighty work in you today. So just come and enjoy my presence. Come and find pleasure with me. Find that today, as you're close to me, I'm going to heal your bodies. There's places that you have not yet felt my touch, but expect it today because I plan to heal your bodies. And you know what? I plan to minister to some of your needs that you've been declaring to me. I'm planning to respond to them today, but put those things aside. Just focus on me and I will show myself. I will show myself to you. Look and see. I gave you eyes to see. Listen and hear today, for I am here. Declare, declare, declare. Oh, Lord, we declare your worship. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. You are the God of glory. You are the one we sing to. Your face is the one that outshines, and we're before your face.
Thank you. Stand with us. We connect with eternity. Join the song they are always singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Just to bow down before your throne. See your face, we cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Jesus, King of Kings, Jesus, Majesty, Jesus, King of Kings, Jesus, Majesty. We connect with eternity. Join the song they are always singing. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Just to bow down before your throne. See your face, we cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, King of Kings. Jesus, Majesty. Jesus, King of Kings. Jesus, Majesty. Who have heard, well done, proclaiming forever that you're the one who's faithful, faithful, faithful are you, Lord.
Worthy, worthy, worthy. Holy, holy forever.
We worship.
worship you, Lord. You're so beautiful. Hear your people sing. Holy to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all have gone before us, and all will believe. We'll sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and possessions. Your name stands above them all. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. All thrones and dominions, all powers and possessions, your name stands above them all. Your name creation cries. Holy, you are lifting it high. Holy, you're holy forever. Jesus, we love you. Hear your people sing. Holy to the King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever. You will always be. Holy presence, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The atmosphere has changed now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence has changed now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love. Happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here right now. A miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds. Surround. transformation. On us, we need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us.
Yeshua, ah.
Yeshua.
Lift your hands and just bless him right now. He's here. He's moving in our midst. He's inhabiting the praises of his people this morning. So allow him to inhabit you. Allow him to come in and take over. Allow his presence not only to fill you, but to saturate you. Let his presence now begin to just touch you. Touch you in your innermost being. Feel the transformation happening in your heart, in your mind, and in your body. The anointing that breaks every yoke, let it flow to every fiber of your being as you worship him with all your might and with all your strength. Father, we thank you this morning. You're inhabiting. You're not just visiting, but we want a habitation. A habitation of your presence. You're building a house where you can inhabit, not just visit, but where you can dwell forever and ever and ever. So we thank you that we present our bodies as that living sacrifice, as that temple of Holy Spirit. So we welcome your fullness to fill us once again, that we might taste and see the goodness of God, that we might experience the miraculous touch, the anointing of Yeshua, Jesus. We thank you. We honor your presence. We honor you this morning. We thank you and give you all the glory, all the praise, all of our worship. Everything in us blesses the Lord, oh, our souls, and all that is within us gives honor and glory to the King of Glory, to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him right now. Let a sound of worship begin to rise up. Let a sound of praise. Wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. Woo. Thank you, worship team. Praise you. Let's thank the worship team this morning. Thank you, worship team. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated if you can. If you can't, that's all right. You can stand. Amen. You can stand. You got a word?
Okay. The Spirit of the Lord simply says to take this home with you. Take this to work with you. Take this shopping with you. You want me? I want you more. You want me, I want you more. You give yourself more to me, I have not left none of me left out. Take this everywhere you go.
Huh. Yes. Yes, amen. 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 Ooh. The tech team wouldn't appreciate it, but there were several times that I thought, I'm just going to drop the mic. They might have dropped me, but I heard just in the songs, and I thought, didn't understand. I just wanted to, whoa, that's it. And then he'd come in with another wave. Amen? Amen. Well, it's good to see you and pressing in. We appreciate the worship team pressing in. And let me just share a little bit with you what I'm sensing, what's happening. And it just seems to be increasing each week. But Dr. David said that we had, in 2018, entered into a double decade of open heaven. And in these last few months, I've been listening to those that are teaching on time. And I remember a teaching I had at Bible school that as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus, time's going to accelerate. And I'm talking to even the young people. I talk to my grandchildren. And they all feel like time is just accelerating. It's going faster and faster. So as we get to closer to the second coming, time's going to accelerate. And then when we sing songs like what we just sang this morning, they're songs of heaven. And last week, I know Prophet Susie, as she was pressing in before, said she felt like the angels, and I think they were stacked. That's what she said. She felt angels were stacked in the room. And then we had when we went down to out to eat, one of the persons said they turned in the worship and turned to someone behind them, and they said that, you know, it feels like there's more of us in this room than there's physically in this room. And they felt like angels had just filled the room. And I've been sensing that a lot when we worship. Sometimes I think, man, there's a lot more people in this room than I know that's in this room. Where are they coming from? Well, as heaven gets closer to the earth and we sing the songs of heaven, they're already singing around the throne day and night and worshiping him and crying, holy, holy, holy. So the angels are singing that and those around the throne. And so the body of Christ is just not those of us who are on earth, but it's those that are in heaven. So as heaven gets closer, we ought to expect more visitations. Because he's going to break in. So expect healings during our worship.
Yes.
You know, when you're in that time, just expect the presence of God to just... He was here. There's miracles we're singing about. We don't have to wait for a special invitation to lay hands on. The atmosphere is changing. You could feel it shift. So just receive miracles. And so last week, you know, and people are seeing... Just open heaven, and it's here. Amen? So we invite you to step in. I'm trying to see if here, they're here.
Thank you, Lord.
Some of you are moving in seats and trying to fool me. So I want to make sure they didn't move because there was someone... I don't see Monday and Maureen and the girls here. Are they here? Maybe they're out. If they're out there, okay. We're going to pray for the, Ashley. Ashley, we haven't seen much of her for the last 4 years. She's been at the University of Michigan, and she's taken on a position, medical position in New York City. And so we told her we would pray for her. So if they come in, we'll pray for her. But we're going to move right on. Amen.
Amen.
Give you a couple of quick announcements. Just believe it or not, we're about ready to enter into August. And as we enter August, let me give you the full schedule for August. Next Friday night, August the 4th, we want to encourage you to go over to Sterling Heights, Grace Christian Church, and General Michael Flynn's going to be there and sharing. And if you want to just get engaged of the global agenda, and The global agenda is an antichrist agenda. And we know that it's working against the outpouring of Holy Spirit. And Michael Flynn was a general that understands not only the physical, but he's a man of God and he understands the spiritual. And he can bring you and tell you what's happening in the natural. And it's to wake up the body of Christ. So August the 4th, you know, take a group. That's a good time to take a group. Drive over to Sterling Heights. There's some information, I think, out there, but it's at Grace Christian Church and Michael Flynn. It's next Friday night at 7 o'clock. And so you want to just come and really get your eyes open to not only what's happening just around this area, but globally and the global agenda of the Antichrist spirit. So we want to encourage you with that. And then as we're teaching, and I'll share a little bit of the message this morning, but on August the 9th and August 16th, we're going to have a class on Holy Spirit, because I believe that what's about ready to blow in the fall, and I'm getting more and more confirmations as I listen to those I entrust, that we need to be prepared. We need to be expanded. Amen. And we need to know the voice of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So we're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will give us great discernment, because I'll tell you, deception, you think it's bad now, it's about ready to go unhinged. And even those that are believers, if they're not connected rightly, can be led astray. And so we don't want to be that. We believe this is a preparation time. So we're going to have two classes just to blast you with the person, the work of Holy Spirit. Before we can understand the work, we got to have an intimate relationship with the person of Holy Spirit. So those 2 days, on the 9th and the 16th at 7 o'clock here at the church. And then on the 27th, we're going to blow out of August. And we're going to have church in the park, in the community, the park down the street. That's the one that Grand 7 Detroit and you all supported and put in for the community. And so we're going to have not only church in the park, but we'll have a picnic after in the park. There's information out there. And just get ready. We're just going to blow into the fall, okay?
Yeah.
And know the times and the seasons. We can know the times and seasons here in Michigan better than anybody else, because we have four distinct times. And I know in August there's always a wind that comes in that tells me that fall's coming in.
Yeah.
Linda says, don't tell me when that happens. But I'm out and I can feel, and you can feel that wind. It's a specific wind that comes in and it blows in. You say, whoa, the fall's coming. But the Bible says you can discern the times in the natural. How come you can't discern the times in the spiritual?
Come on. Yep.
And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So we got those things coming up. A couple things in preparing. Stay reading your Proverbs. More and more people are reading the Proverbs. I heard a great message by Bill Johnson on wisdom, but talking about Proverbs. Proverbs is a key for us to stay in our right mind during this time. And so read the Proverbs. We're at the end of July, so you can pick up August the 1st. Read a Proverbs of day. If you miss a day, that's all right. Whatever day we're in, just read that Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. There's 31 days in August. And so you'll get to cover the whole book of August. And we're reading from the Passion. If you have the Passion Translation or Access, read it. It will give you a special insight. Also, we've asked the church to pick up the book, Setting Yourself Free. It's critical, if we're going to move in the Holy Spirit, that you're clean on the inside. And so this book, Setting Yourself Free, will expose, it will deal with issues, it will tell you how to get clean on the inside. Because you're not clean on the inside, then you can't hear clearly what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so we want to encourage you. I haven't made much announcement on this. I know some of the life groups are going through this, but take your time going through this. Okay, and if he reveals something, Holy Spirit, deal with it, address it. It tells you how to first acknowledge it. The first part is acknowledging. The second thing is how to repent and the repentant process. And the third one is how to denounce it.
Amen.
And so setting ourselves free, and it's checking our our protection around us. You know, that we got a shield of righteousness around us. But sin punctures holes in it. And the demonic punches holes in it. And so we want to mend the walls of protection. Amen. And to go in this new season. So we want to encourage you to continue to not just read the book. We're asking you to encounter. It's not about a book. It's about the Word of God, and it's full of the Word of God. So we just want to encourage you with that. I don't know why I'm swinging all these Bibles. Which one am I in? So let's pray for our children. I'm hearing some exciting things about them as they're going into, training camp. Is that it? Is that what it's called? Okay. They're doing a great job and raising up this generation. And this generation needs to experience God at an early age because of what they're coming. I can't even imagine what they're going to encounter. We think in our generation what we've encountered, I can't even imagine what they're going to encounter if things are accelerating. And Daniel said in the last days, knowledge will increase. And they'll travel to and fro. But knowledge is increasing at a rapid pace. They said several years ago, every 5 years. Now it's down to like 2.5 years. Knowledge is doubling. And so, Father, we thank you for this generation. We thank you for Chase and her team, Father, Lola, and those that, Father, are training our children. They're not just, Father, entertaining. They're not just giving them Bible stories. But, Father, they're bringing forth the Word of God. And we thank you that this generation hungers for the Word at an early age. And we thank you they not only hunger for the Word, but it's the Word and the Spirit. And so we thank you the Word and the Spirit, Father, is being imparted to them, that they really realize there's no junior Holy Spirit, that they can hear the voice of God as well as any person, anyone in the body. So they're encountering Jesus, they're being transformed, and they're being filled with the Word and the Spirit. And just empower Chase and her team right now, Father, to know how to take them from glory to glory and strength to strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said amen. Well, the first thing I want to drop we also have these prayers, the apostolic prayers. These are out there. The prayers in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 3, and also Colossians. We made them so you can put them in the Bible there. And this is the Passion Translation. And they're all in first person. There's something about the first person. So you can read first person, and then you can make it plural corporate, because it's not just you getting free, but it's about the body together getting free. But powerful apostolic prayers that Paul prayed over the church at Ephesians and Colossae. And so these are out there. You can put them in your Bible, begin to pray them. We're going to need all the Amen. Weapons of warfare.
Amen.
You know, we're calling everything to attention, you know, right now. So pick all that up on the way out and build yourself up, expand your innermost man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that, Father, we're in a place, Father, great expansion, great acceleration, not only in the natural, Father, but in the spirit realm. And we thank you that, Father, in that acceleration, there is an open heaven. And, Father, we thank you as heaven and earth begin to get closer together in this acceleration. We thank you that eternity and, Father, the temporal are becoming one, that you're teaching us how to walk in the spirit and to live in the natural. But, Father, we thank you that to walk in the spirit, we need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And so we thank you that we have ears to hear. We thank you open the eyes of our heart that we can see what you are doing, that we might participate, Father, not just be spectators in this day and this hour, that, Father, we might get off the bench and onto the field. And, Father, we thank you the field, Father, is the platform, it's a stage, Father, for bringing heaven into earth. And so we pray, let your kingdom come. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as you open the word this morning to us. You watch over it, and it will not return unto you empty, and it will accomplish what you sent it forth to do. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was walking this week and asking, okay, where are we going in August? I don't want to, I don't want to be behind, and I don't want to be ahead. I want to be right where the Lord is. And the Lord very specifically said in all this week, he says, I want you to stay in the book of Acts. I said, okay, we've pretty much been doing that and pressing in. Stay in the book of Acts. But he says specifically in the book of Acts, I want you to stay in Acts 29. Now, if you're very discerning, Acts 29 is not in the Bible. There's only 28 chapters. I wanted to see, this was a test to see if you're like the church at Berea. Are you, I mean, if I could have gone on and just said chapter 29, but chapter 29 does exist. It's a blank page because what God began to do in Jesus in the earth is still being done through us, the church. So we are Acts chapter 29. We're writing the end of the book of Acts. It's not only the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Church. I know there's some churches and movements calling Acts 29. Well, don't try to find Acts 29. You are Acts 29 manifesting in the earth. So, you know, if Jesus doesn't return in your lifetime, your testimony is going to be part of writing Acts 29. Okay, so he told me that. So we're staying in the book of Acts. But you know, one of the things, and I heard John Bevere talk about this, and I think he's written a book on it. But John said that in the book of Acts, what caused the book of Acts to be so alive, then a few decades, all the earth had heard the gospel of Jesus. And in his studies, he said the difference between the church now and the church in the book of Acts was they had eternity as a reality in their life. They weren't living just for the now. In fact, it says in James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, your life is a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. So in comparison to the eternity, it doesn't matter how long you live on earth. It's just the vapor compared to eternity. It's just a boop and you're gone. But in the book of Acts, they lived in a state of eternity. So they didn't live just in the natural and looking forward to the future. But when they got born again, they realized Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that he put eternity in you. John 17:2-3 says this, and this is eternity, that you might know the true God and his son Jesus Christ. So eternity isn't a future destiny. Eternity is a person, and when you accept Jesus, that person of Jesus comes in you, and Holy Spirit, they're eternal. So he puts eternity in you, so you're living in a new dimension than you did before. In the book of Acts, they lived in that dimension of eternity, not waiting to die to get into eternity, but when they got born again, they knew they were in eternity, bringing the eternal things into the natural things. Are you following this? And so in the book of Acts, they weren't praying for revival, they lived in revival. There's a big difference. The church today is living in the temporal, and we're praying for revival to come. And God says a revival is already happening because I put eternity in you. And if you understand that eternity has already started, if you're born again, then you're in revival. So the difference between Acts now and the church today is we're living in revival. But you know, it faded out as time went on. Because then in Revelation, the seven churches that were on fire and real dynamic, the angels came and visited them, and Jesus came and spoke to them. And every one of them got this word: he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And it gave them some warnings. And if they heeded to the warnings and repented, then they got back on track. But all seven of those churches don't exist today. It's in what we know as Turkey. And if you go to them, those churches are not in existence. Why is that? They started in revival. They experienced eternity. They experienced the presence of God. But they didn't continue to live in it. And so he's saying to the church right now, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And I want to tell you that it also talks about if you have an ear to hear and you heed to what he's saying, there's rewards. And he says, and he that overcomes, the rewards are connected with hearing and overcoming. So if you hear and you overcome, then there's rewards. It kind of indicates that if you're not hearing, you won't receive the rewards. Or you could put it this way, if you're not overcoming, you won't receive the rewards. You're going to go to heaven, but there's rewards that are given out when we get to heaven. And so let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've been in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the Lord spoke to me to go back to 2 Corinthians 3. And build up to 5. Because at the end of 5, we found out that we have been saved by the ministry of reconciliation. That's how you come into Christ. That's how you come into eternity. It's through the ministry of reconciliation. By the blood of Jesus, you come into that relationship. But then it says, not only have you been saved by the ministry of reconciliation, but now you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So everyone that has been born again already has a ministry. Your first and primary ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. And as you take the ministry of reconciliation, then you become an ambassador of Jesus. And we're all ambassadors. So the greatest ministry you can have is the ministry of reconciliation. And the greatest ministry you have is an ambassador of Jesus, a representation of him in this earth. An ambassador represents someone else. And we're not citizens first in priority of this nation. When you get born again, you're first a citizen of the kingdom of God. Amen. And so you're an ambassador not for this nation, you're an ambassador for the kingdom of God. The highest to step down from that, I wouldn't be president of the United States. I'd be stepping down from being an ambassador of the King of Kings. Yeah. You guys get reality of this? To take any other title on this earth is a step down from being an ambassador for the King of Kings, the King of Glory. Woo! And we've been given that ministry of reconciliation and ambassadorship. But we need to understand, and all through 2 Corinthians 5, before it got there, it talks about the difference between the natural and the spiritual. And this is what it picks up in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I keep backing up, we'll get chapter 1, but we're in chapter 3. Verse 12, therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. I'm going to tell you, if we believe this, there's going to become great boldness in our speech. We're not going to be wimpy. We're not going to disguise our testimony and say, the man upstairs. You know, we're not even going to just talk about God. We're going to be bold in our conversation and said, the man we're talking about is the man Jesus Christ. You can talk to the world about God and they'll talk to you about God. And there's many ways to God. That's what the world will tell you. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one way to the God we're talking about. And once you get born again, we're going to have great confidence to talk about Jesus. But we're also going to not just refer to God as God. He's Father. And it's going to take boldness. And once you start speaking that, you'll expose the demonic powers that are arguing against you. They don't want to talk. They've already know they've been defeated. They're going to say, man, have you come to destroy us before our time? You'll start to expose what's behind their argument when you get bold and start talking about the person of Jesus Christ. And God is Father. Yes, yes. He says, we'll begin to talk about this great hope. Let's go on. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, one of the signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit is boldness.
Yes.
I'll tell you, the more we get filled, the greater the boldness. And it's going to look as though we're obnoxious. Welcome to the world. They can be obnoxious on that side, but if we say anything on this side, it's hate speech.
Come on.
I'm telling you, there has been a law passed in the state of Michigan. What hate speech is. And if you use the Bible to talk about sin, that's hate speech. And it's already passed here. Wake up, church. It's trying to shut the voice of God down. It's the only voice that can save. It's the ministry of reconciliation. I didn't see this verse coming. It just happened. Woo. Wow. Therefore, having this hope, we use great boldness of speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his... Whoa, boy, this comes to life. If we're not bold, then it's like we put a veil over our face and they can't see the glory of God.
Mask over your mouth.
Moses had to come down because the glory was so great, put a veil, because if it touched them, they were afraid they were going to die. But the glory of Moses would fade over time. So he'd have to go back up. I tell you what, we think that they don't want to see the glory. The world wants to see the glory. We got to take the veil off, and the veil only comes off in Jesus. That's what it's saying here. And are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. In other words, if all you're preaching is the first five books of the law, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that's the law of Moses. If that's all you're preaching, you can't see Jesus. It's all in types and shadows. The world can see God, but it's in types and shadows because we've been so vague. But, I love verse 15, but, don't you love the buts in God?
Yeah.
I mean, you hear all this negative and you can stay in the negative, but I look for the but. The but is, that's what the world says, that's what the natural says, that's the argument. But when God speaks, that's final. But, to this day, whenever Moses is read, veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person, it doesn't say apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, whenever an individual, whenever a human being, all of you qualify, whenever a person, I'm trying to break down this.
Break it down.
We're all on the same level coming in. We were all sinners. There's only one way in. He didn't have separate doors. You that are called to be this, go in this door. And you called to be this, go in this door. No, we all go through the same door. Jesus said, I am the door.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Of the sheepfold, and my sheep know my voice. Are you following this? Oh. We got to read our Bible better. Not just take a scripture that meets one of our needs. God wants deliverance to come. But whenever a person whenever you turn back to the Lord, every encounter you have with the Word of God is an opportunity to turn back to the Lord. That's what repentance is. He reveals things that got you going in this direction. Not just salvation, but you got other issues. But whenever You encounter him and you turn back. Whoever turns back, he meets you. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I'll tell you what. You know, he's taking away veils right now.
You betcha.
Every time you have an encounter, the veil, it gets clearer and clearer. It's not just seeing the grass greener and the sky bluer. That's how I felt when I got born again. Woo, I didn't know the sky was that blue. I didn't know the grass was that green. I didn't know the flowers were that beautiful. I didn't recognize, you know, I didn't recognize the things because there was a veil on. Not my natural eyes, but on my spiritual eyes. Now, verse 17, one of my favorite scriptures. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not only liberty, but freedom. True freedom comes where the spirit is Lord. In fact, one translation says, where the spirit is Lord. Why does it say that? Because Jesus is Lord, but Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, he can't come. And if he can't come, then he can't dwell not only with you, but be in you. But I'm going to send one just like me, and he's going to not only be with you like I am, he's going to be on the inside of you. So where the Spirit of God is Lord, there is true freedom.
Amen.
I'll put that on check. Put that on. Those things that pop up, you think, where do they come from? And then you have to kind of discern, you know. No, I'll just put that over here. So let's stay on the word. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. True freedom are those that are free in the spirit, that are operating from inside out. This is the difference between the natural, the temporal, and the spiritual or eternity. This is the difference. You operate from the inside out. The natural operates from the outside in. And so now we're born again and the Spirit of God is in us. So we now communicate and operate with God the Father and Jesus the Son through Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside. And he'll teach you all things and he'll even show you things to come. So the more intimate we come with him, the more we'll know the mind of Christ. He's the one that reveals the word. Without Holy Spirit, you don't have a revelation of the word. It's his job to reveal the word. It was his job to reveal to Mary that she was going to conceive, and that she would conceive would be born of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit was active in Jesus' conception. It was the Holy Spirit in the baptism. That when Jesus was praying, the heavens were opened. They saw a dove ascending upon Jesus, and they heard the Father's voice say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So Holy Spirit was there.
Yes.
In Luke chapter 4, it says when he opened the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 61, he read in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." For he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives. So Holy Spirit was active in Jesus' birth and in his ministry. And he was also active in his resurrection. Because it was Holy Spirit that raised Jesus. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you in the person of Holy Spirit. So where the Spirit is Lord, there's true freedom. Woo! But that's operating in an eternal perspective. That's bringing eternity into earth. How does eternity get in earth? Through us who have the ministry of reconciliation. Whoa. Look what it says here. Verse 18. But we all those who where the Spirit is Lord, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. You're being transformed. We're in the process. But I'm telling you, as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus, if you stay hungry and thirsty, the process can be a quick process. I remember the outpouring in the Jesus Revolution, and I got born again. I didn't know nothing. In about 3.5 years, I was pastoring. Nowadays, they say that's impossible. You got to go to seminary that takes longer than 3 years. You got to go to all this thing. When there's a move of God, there's an acceleration. All you have to do is be hungry and thirsty. We're in a move of God, so don't worry about. Just step into it. Amen? Are being transformed into the same image. What's the same image? It's the image of Jesus. It's not a replica. It's the same image. The same likeness that Jesus had. It's not a counterfeit. It's not a copy. It's not a duplication. It's the same. That's what it means. It's the same. Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Now we can get in chapter 4 where it says, therefore. Because he just said all that, now therefore, because of this. Listen what he says. Since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, do not lose heart. I'll tell you, if you're losing heart, get back into the things of the Spirit. Because if you're in the Spirit, you're not going to lose heart with all the craziness that's happening. And all the craziness is yet to come.
Yes.
It's a warning right now for where the season we're in. You think it's crazy and you don't want to lose heart. If you get disturbed with things you're seeing out there, and you should get disturbed, but it shouldn't cause you to lose heart. Shouldn't take you out of the race. As we have this ministry, we have received mercy. Do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know what this is saying? That you not only are preaching with your words, but your life is convicting the consciences of others. When the glory of God starts to shine in us, you don't have to say anything. You can be like Peter walking down the street. He didn't say anything. He was probably going to get a midnight snack. And they heard he was coming. They put the lame and the sick and all those out, and his shadow touched them. We're going to get to this place as the church. Amen. Because the former rain is going to be greater than the latter rain. The latter rain, Acts was great, but the form of the latter is going to be greater. Because it's not going to just be Peter and the apostles. It's going to be the body of Christ. Every one of us charged. Ooh, with the glory of God. With the fullness of God. Are you ready for this? He didn't put an age limit up there. But you who are whatever. I talk to different people, and different people, they're retired at different ages. I won't go there. But have renounced, okay? But by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to everyone's conscience. So the manifestation of truth is going to be in us.
Yes.
And it's going to convict the conscience of those around us.
That's right.
And we got some testimonies that are going really amazing. One particular one is a young man that has just been saved 3 or 4 months now. And he was telling me, you know, he thought, well, my family so far, I told him I got born again. And they said, that's all right. Just don't talk to us about it. It's all right for you, but don't talk to us about it. And he had one of his members was so far out there. He says, and he'll never hear it. And we said, just stay hungry and thirsty. Let your light shine.
Yes.
I saw him 2 weeks later. And guess what? That one person that was rejecting him now wants to know what's happened to him and asks, where do you go to church? That was in a 2 weeks where he said, this person will never, ever receive what I have. He didn't preach to him. He just saw the change in him. And he wanted to know, what is that? Woo!
Hungry and thirsty. Praise God.
Amen. Verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Church, let's wake up. It's veiled if we're not letting our light shine. If we're not speaking boldly. It's veiled. And who is it veiled to? It's veiled to those that are lost. And let me put it this way. If they're lost, they're going to hell. And you can't cover that up real lightly.
For real. Be real.
So it's veiled to those that are lost or perishing. And it says in verse 4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the glory of God is the image of God that's being formed, you are being transformed into this image of Christ. And this image and the glory of God has blinded those who are perishing. So what are they waiting for? Not the return of Jesus. They're waiting for the church to let their light shine. They're waiting for you and I.
Amen.
Look, this gets better. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ. Make sure you're not preaching yourself. Make sure you're preaching Jesus. It's all right to give testimony, but sometimes I hear testimony takes away who Jesus is. You never hear about Jesus. You just hear about all that they're experiencing. That's not going to help them at all. What's going to help them is hearing about Jesus.
Amen.
That it was Jesus that did all that. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ as Lord. And so not only are we preaching Jesus, but we need to preach the Lordship of Jesus. It's not about just coming and meeting Jesus to fix your needs and your problems. We need to preach Jesus and the message of Jesus. If you come, you're dead. Because you need to confess Him as Lord over all. We need to begin to change our altar calls. From if you want Jesus, whatever you need, healing, no, seek first the kingdom and all these things are added. We need to get things in right order. You get them in the Lordship of Jesus, they'll start to experience their needs being met. Amen? And it's not something we have to strive for and spend a lot of energy. It's just happening as an overflow of our relationship with the King of Glory. That's what an ambassador is. He isn't concerned about his needs because the one he's serving meets all of his needs.
Yes.
So if we're seeking first the kingdom and we're ambassador of the King of Kings, then our needs are going to be met, which is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added, not taken away.
Joy.
Hallelujah. But we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus is Lord, or Christ is, Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, and this is key, light shall shine out of darkness. Well, how is light going to shine out of darkness? Is the one who has shone in your hearts to give the light. So how is light going to shine out of darkness? It's through you, through me. We can pray for people's eyes to be open, but their eyes are going to be open when they see the light.
That's right. Amen.
Of Jesus, what he's done on the inside. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So the more we spend our time in the face of Jesus and in intimacy with him and prayer and Holy Spirit, the more our light's going to shine.
Yes.
It's an inward out. It's a eternal, eternity's inside, but we're living in eternity. We're not living in the temporal. We're bringing eternity into the natural. And eternity changes what's going on in the natural.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
It never changes from the temporal to eternity. That's what religion will tell you. When you leave this life, you're going to enter into eternity and the blessings of God. No. The gospel says that when you met Jesus, eternity's in the inside of you. and you become the light and start shining his light. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So he's telling you, this treasure is not in heaven. This treasure is in earthen vessels. It's in you and I, everyone that's a believer. Amen. This treasure is already lit. On the inside of us,
Amen.
Waiting to shine. In earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of, from ourselves. So God's going to get all the glory in this.
Amen.
Amen. In verse 8. Verse 8 seems like a kind of a funny transition, but it says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Notice that mortal flesh. It's not something when you get to heaven. It's here in life. That the life of Jesus, and remember John 10:10, it says, the devil comes to kill, destroy, and steal. But I have come that you might have life, but not just natural life, but life more abundantly, everlasting life, here and now. We can start to experience this eternal life right now. Whoa, are you ready to start to experience this? Are you ready to start living in revival? That's what happened in the book of Acts. They had a revelation of this eternity living in them. And they were the revival. They were the open heaven. Man. That doesn't stir you. Woo! So death works in us, but life in you. Verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, so he talks about the spirit of faith, that eternity is in us. According to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people. How many want grace to spread to more and more people? This is how it's done. Every one of us taking on the ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us come an ambassador. It starts to spread more and more grace. And it says in Romans, it says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So I'm not worried about all the sin that's abounding. Darkness may be bound in sin, but I'm telling you, grace, how much more grace is abounding. Amen. And how does grace abound? It abounds through you and I. Amen? We are carriers of grace. We are carriers of light. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people. God, just let grace. We speak grace to more and more people in our life. Say that in your influence. Don't start saying it to the nations until you start saying it to your neighborhood.
Come on.
Start with your family. Lord, let more and more grace expand to my loved ones.
Yes.
That's my ministry. That's my field.
Yes. Amen.
Once it starts expanding grace, then take it to your neighborhood.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And then when you take it to neighborhood, take it to your school. And when you take it to school, then you know, take it to your workplace. That's going from your Jerusalem to your Judea to your Samaria and then to the othermost parts of the earth. You don't start with going on a missions trip. That's good. But you start where the missions are, right home. It came back again, so I'm going to say it now. I put that out there, and now he says, bring it back. Statistics show that there's more slavery going on right now in the world
That's right.
Than slavery of all time put together. And the greatest perpetrator of that is the United States of America.
85%.
Sex trade is biggest in the United States, and that's slavery. Friends, we got to wake up. It's jarring. You think in the United States of America that has the most sex trade going on, the most child labor, they're using them for prostitution. There's more being snatched up in America than the rest of the world right now. And all the world, there's more slavery than there was with all slavery from going back to the beginning of time is operating right now. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where to set the captives free. The only hope for this world is the church. The church should catch fire. So that more and more grace is spreading to more and more people, may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. What does grace, when it expands, it causes thanksgiving. What does thanksgiving? It gives glory to God. It's only by His works. Therefore, verse 16, I told you Corinthians was a book full of therefores. So if you're not reading the whole thing, it's a letter, you know, you're going to miss this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Everybody say, I'm not going to lose heart. Because my eyes are fixed on Jesus. I know the end from the beginning. I know how it's going to end. So my eyes are on the end. What God promised, He will accomplish. He will not be late. He's always on time. For a day is as a thousand years. And a thousand years is as a day to the Lord. So you need to get in eternity's time. What you think is a day, you might think it's a thousand years, but it's going to happen. All we have to do is get an agreement to accelerate this time of when it does happen. Amen. He's already written the scripture. He already written the beginning from the end. He's the author and the finisher, but He knows everything that goes on in between. And we can accelerate bringing the end together when we agree with Him. Amen. Therefore, do not lose heart. I want to tell you all that's going to come down, all that you're hearing, don't lose heart. If you're losing heart and becoming weary and well-doing, get your eyes back on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He doesn't grow weary. He's not tired. He doesn't say, oh my gosh, 2,000 years and nothing's happening down there. Those crazy people are getting worse and worse. He doesn't look that way. He sees the end. And thank God for His mercy. If He came before I got born again, I would have missed the rapture. Aren't you glad His mercy that He waited? Well, let's not get selfish now. There's others who are perishing that have yet to hear. I'm amazed. Mary, I heard someone give a testimony that they talked to someone and they said, no one's ever told me. I said, this is America. Where you been? They're saying this person's never been to church. Never been in a church. Not one that was in church and left, but never been in a church. And no one's ever told me. That's in America. Therefore, do not lose heart. But though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed. You get to choose if it's being renewed. You choose. You can't choose about delaying the outer man's decay. That's going to happen. I don't care how much you paint it up. I thank God that now we get bionic parts. Thank God it prolongs me from, you know, it helps me function. Thank God for that. But I don't care how much you get done to this natural man, it's still getting old. And old means it's decaying. But the good news is this is eternity in the natural. Where is your eyes? It's on eternity. That's why Paul says to be with you, or to be with the Lord is far better, but to be with you. He's talking about the natural. He was seeing eternity. Ooh. Yeah, the old man or the outer man is decaying. Quit lying. Quit making confessions of faith. I'm not getting old. I'm sorry, that doesn't work. That's foolishness and presumption. But, I love the but. But the inner man, ooh, is getting younger and more energized. I love that scripture. It's become so alive, and I want to thank you for initiating it. On my birthday, that scripture is Psalm 103, verse 5. It says, the Lord gives us good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I've had such a great month, I mean, of just celebration. I feel like I'm in an eternal birthday. The good things that you wrote and said, I feel like, man, my youth has been renewed. Woo! I feel like, you know, someone said, when you run, don't be surprised, we'll be right behind you.
Amen.
Good things are, I mean, we had good things this week with our family. Good things. Had a great encounter with one of my grandsons who's been kind of distant and I haven't connected with. He was in a championship game yesterday. His team won. And I got the privilege of bringing him back to the, it was his birthday day before. Got an opportunity to bring him back to the house for his birthday party. He has never talked to me. He's an adopted son. And he hasn't talked to me much. And look, he was nonstop. I wanted to drive around the block again. When I got out of that car, I felt like my youth was renewed. Woo! I went in there. God's doing good things if you stay into Him to renew your youth. So that you'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. In this move of God, you're not going to be left behind. Do not lose heart. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Amen. And it doesn't matter how young you are, you can get younger. My older grandchildren are looking at the younger ones and saying, I remember when I was like that. And they're only in their 20s. Come on, there's more. There's more for us to experience. Therefore, do not lose heart. But though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. You get to determine. Stay hungry. Stay thirsty. Stay in the things of the Spirit. Learn how to pray in the Spirit. That's what these 2 weeks, Wednesdays, are about. You need to know praying in the Spirit is praying the eternal language. And it's the Spirit of God that lives in your spirit. So how is the Spirit of God going to communicate with you unless your spirit can pray the heavenly language? Amen. Amen. Building up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. That must have been a lot of praying in tongues because he's writing to the church at Corinth. Because they had a reality of eternity. It was now. And they were bringing eternity into the now to change the now into. That's praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Woo! We're earth changers. We're living in revival. Verse 17. For momentarily, though, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Get this again. Momentarily, it may feel like this. Light affliction. And he caught. Paul's so good. You know what Paul said with light affliction was? Being left for dead after being stoned. You talk about in your face, devil. Shipwrecked. Ooh, light affliction. That's the best you can do, devil. Ooh, this moral. He had a eternal. And even if you kill me, the best is I'm going to be in the presence of God instantly. Woo! Come on. We got to get a reality of eternity is in me now. So, this light affliction. Whenever I see that light affliction, it just, Paul was amazing. Is producing. So the light affliction's producing something on the inside. An eternal weight of glory. I love that. Eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This is what it says in Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to be revealed to us. And some translation says within us. These pressures, it doesn't matter what suffering you're going through. It doesn't compare to the eternal weight of glory. I'm talking about being radical. That's what they were in the book of Acts. They were living in revival. They were living in eternity. I mean, every time I think of Stephen, amazing. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Was full of righteousness. He just started his ministry. He goes and speaks to the high authorities. And what he's speaking truth. And they start stoning him. But what did he do? He saw Jesus standing. You talk about an open heaven. He was living in eternity. He didn't back down from what he was preaching. He spoke the truth because he saw something. These light afflictions. I can see Stephen saying, man, this is light. Come on. Getting hit with rocks and saying, woo, seeing Jesus. Doesn't compare to seeing Jesus stand. Woo. We need an encounter of heaven. Amen. And eternity. So it says, for momentary light affliction is producing. It's not going to produce. It is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Again, he puts it kind of out there. There's the temporal and the natural. What are you looking at? If you're losing heart, you're looking at the natural things, the temporal things. If you're in the spirit, there's no comparison. Amen. We'll read that again. While we look not, what are you looking at is my question for you today. Say, you don't know what I'm going through. What are you looking at? You looking at the natural? The things that which are seen, that's the natural, that's the temporal. But at the things which are not seen are the things we're to look at. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, then he goes into chapter 5, and we already went through there. Again, Paul is talking about the difference between the natural and the spiritual. And he says, you get to choose. The enemy's strategy is not to keep you out of heaven. He really doesn't care if you're born again and going to heaven. It's to keep you from letting your light shine that others are brought into heaven. He brings the tests and the trials to get you out of your eyes on Jesus. Amen. But Jesus. Father, I thank you this morning. Whoa, what a time we're living in. when, Father, we're coming back around, just as in the outpouring on the day of Pentecost, they came into a new dimension. And they embraced, Father, this new dimension of Holy Spirit being poured out and in them. That their bodies became the temple of Holy Spirit. And eternal life was put in, and they started to live in that eternal dimension. The dimension of the Spirit. The signs and wonders and miracles followed. But they lived, Father, where the gospel was preached to the known world at that time. And so, Father, we thank you that we know the devil has come in and Father, has destroyed that work, and even, Father, brought it to a level of natural. But now you're birthing something new. It's a spiritual birthing. I believe it's the former and the latter. I believe the same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost has already been poured out once, but it's being poured out in a new way. And that, Father, it's another time when you're given, Father, the church the opportunity to fulfill your mission and your ministry of reconciliation as ambassadors. That, Father, we know and open the eyes and we see that, Father, those are perishing around us without Christ. And, Father, in seeing that, we thank you that you also have shown in our heart the light of the glory of God. He's already on the inside of us. And even though the natural man is, Father, decaying and growing old, we thank you the inner man is being renewed. Yes. And so we thank you, Father, for a hunger for your word. Yes. That every time we get in the word, we're looking for an encounter.
Yes, Lord.
Not just information. We read the book of Acts. It's not, Father, about getting a history or a story. But, Father, we're looking for an encounter.
Yes.
So, Holy Spirit, awaken us right now that when we read your word, we have an encounter and you reveal Jesus to us and we're being changed from glory to glory into your image and your likeness. So we thank you. You've already put eternal life on the inside of us. And if we're not, Father, born again, then, Father, you said today is the day of salvation. That if we would believe in our hearts. So if you're here today, either online or here in this place, and you're not sure about where you'll spend eternity, we thank you that Jesus is the eternal one and Holy Spirit in you is eternal. And so he says, come to him. And so if you confess Jesus as Lord of your life, he forgives you of your sin. Not only does he forgive you, but he washes you in his word. And he puts eternal life in you. He puts himself in you. He is eternal. Then he says that I'll not only be with you, but I'll give you a helper, one just like me. And I'll put him not only with you, but he'll be in you. And he'll teach you all things and show you things to come. So we thank you. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. The dimension between the eternal and the natural is that, Father, we know the greater one's on the inside. That we're not looking at the things that are decaying on the outside, the craziness, the darkness, but we have been given the light. And you said, let the light shine. So that, Father, it convicts others in their conscience. So just confess Jesus. Say, come into my heart, Jesus. The Bible says if you say, Jesus, you're Lord of my life, and you believe that he was raised from the dead, then you're saved. The same way you receive Jesus by faith is the same way that you receive the baptism of Holy Spirit. You have Holy Spirit in you when you receive Jesus, but you receive a fullness. And so, Father, we thank you by faith. We believe and we receive. And now, Father, this walk we're in, this journey, is not walking by sight, but by faith. The same faith that the Apostle Paul and the disciples had. The same faith that Jesus modeled for us and Holy Spirit manifesting in and through him is in us right now. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
That we are revival walking.
Yes.
The world's waiting for us to manifest the glory of Jesus. So now, Father, as we receive this ministry of reconciliation, we receive this anointing as ambassadors.
Yes, Lord.
Ambassadorship of Jesus, King of Kings. That our citizenship, even though we're in this world, we're not of this world.
Amen.
And we thank you for empowering us.
Yes, Lord.
To represent you through the words we speak.
Yes.
And through our life.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, I thank you right now. Just receive right now a fresh revelation. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, you say, where are we going in August? We're staying in Acts. We're writing Acts 29. I'm going to start to write the Acts of the church in Acts 29. You are Acts 29. Amen? Not going to be, you are. Amen.
Amen.
Well, ministry teams are here. If you need prayer, we want to give you opportunity to receive prayer, especially if you want a confirmation of your salvation, or you want to pray to receive Holy Spirit. Maybe things are dry. Sometimes we just need a little surge, someone to pray over us and release the presence of God and fresh encounter. Or if you just need a healing, you're in pain. We believe that, you know, healings take place all through the service. Worship takes place in prayer. Sometimes it's laying on a hand. So the ministry teams are up here to minister, and they'll be up here. And so we're going to dismiss. If you want to fellowship, you can do it in the foyer. But if you want to stay in, you can stay and pray, and pray for those that come forward. So, Father, just do a work right now through the ministry teams in the name of Jesus. Let me just declare to you that the same anointing that's on Jesus, it's on me, it's on them. So, you know, sometimes we think, you know, I got to have hands laid on by... Don't look at man in their outer. That was chapter 5. Don't judge them by what you see on the outer. See the Christ inside and receive the anointing on them. You know, when you get up there, just receive. It says believe, and believing is receiving. So, ministry teams can come, and you're dismissed, and thank you for joining us. Offerings, you can put the offerings in the box in the back if you have your offering, or you can send it in, go online and touch it that way. So there's ways of giving, but introduce yourself to someone too. If you met someone, we welcome those that are first-time visitors with us, and in Jesus' name.